Ahoy.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Who's this?
Hey, this is Skippy. I just
Skippy?
Wanted to call Skippy.
Hey, Skippy.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in and say, Dave rocks.
Yeah, there you
thank
go.
You, Skippy.
You got yourself a fan right there, Dave.
Hey, Skippy, thank you, man. I'm going to add you to the board here.
Hey, Dave.
He said, hey.
Oh, hey, what's up, dude? What's going on, man?
We're right at a real high functioning level right
Sorry
here.
About that, man. I was just putting another mark on the board of fans, bro.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, especially because you always stand up for yourself when everybody's trying to call you names and stuff.
Man, they're always trying to bring the man down, you know, and that's the whole thing. And that's what people like to do is to bring you down. But you know what? It doesn't affect me.
Skippy doesn't. He's a fan.
No, Skippy's the type of guy that brings me up.
Yeah, because I don't do anything important like work on the radio or anything. I work at a big box store, and
right.
Everybody that works here, they say that I'm dumb and stupid, and they call me even worse names.
Skip.
Like, what else Skip. Do they call you, Skippy?
Moron.
Ah, they ever call you like a wuss?
They call me all of that.
Yeah.
And then... One day, because I listened to Dave, one day I said, yeah, well, you're jealous.
You're damn right. You're not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, but they kept doing it.
Skip, look, man. Just block them out, bro. Do your job. Get it done. Go home.
Give Skippy some advice. Sounds like he's suffering from some of the same things you go through, and you handle it, Dave, so maturely.
Well, I just, you know what I do, Stan? You know what I do? I just brush my shoulder, okay?
Well,
I just
don't
brush
tell me.
It.
Tell Skippy.
Skip, just brush it off, okay? Just brush it off. Now, let me tell you something. You're going to run into employees that are mean. You're going to run into employees that are nice. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is, okay, brother? Now, you're working at one of these big box stores. You know what?
Yeah.
Get your pallet jack and your diapers and go down that aisle and just seclude yourself and load that thing up and do your job and just don't worry about what these people say,
seclude
man.
Seclude yourself? I mean, if in a big box store, somebody would come up and ask a question. Skippy has to be available, don't you think? If he secluded himself, you could probably cost him his job.
No, I imagine, Skippy, you work nights or days?
Yeah, I work nights, days.
I figured you did.
I'm only supposed to interact with guests if it's an emergency.
Understandable. I've been to many stores like that where it's only under emergency that I must speak to somebody.
Because they have a three-strike policy.
Oh, that is not right, Skip.
That's right. It's a business.
They got a three... Hey. Skip, no, Skip, you're telling me they got a three-strike policy against you?
He's telling you.
You shut up.
Yeah, because a lady guest told the manager that I made her uncomfortable.
Huh.
Kind of like
well.
You.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously you're not wearing street clothes. You got a uniform, so you're dressed in the typical uniform. What is it about yourself? Do you have abnormal facial features? Maybe an arm that's a little shorter.
Why are you talking to him like that? You know what? Skippy is part of the three-strike rules. He's under a lot of heat at work. I'll bet you strike two, Skippy. Must have been you were talking about other coworkers' private issues with other people and customers.
Out strike two.
Yep, strike two. You know, the gossip stuff will always get you at work.
But I think I'm a good looking guy.
Well, I can tell.
I was wondering.
How can you tell?
Listen to his voice.
Yeah, I was wondering because Dave was saying that he was doing real well with the ladies last night. I was wondering if he got the first base.
No, unfortunately, man, you know, You know, I was broke, bro, so that put a little damper on things.
You're not talking bold and tough. This guy sounds like he could use some, you know, morale boosting, and you're talking to him about that you didn't even get to first base. What's he supposed to do when he's at the big box store tonight?
Well, yeah, I figure if Dave can't close the deal, I don't have much of a chance.
No, listen, man. Listen. Here's the thing. Skip, with me, I get opportunities on a daily basis.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay? It's a daily basis thing for me, and it's multiples, okay?
Beats it off with a stick. I've seen it.
You have, haven't you?
But I'm not a star like you are.
Well, you know, I'm just going to have to come down to that box store and talk to some people for you and let them know how good of a guy you are and, you know, let them know that you were on a big major radio show, and then maybe that'll increase your chances.
Oh, hell yeah. So how do you talk to girls that don't like you?
All of them?
You just, you know what? Let me tell you something, Skip. And this works. You throw enough S at the wall, something's going to stick. And if she don't like you, you keep going, you keep going. And finally, yeah.
You're learning stuff now, Skippy.
You know what? She's going to give in, and she's going to go, you know what? I'm going to have to pity this guy.
Well, what are you telling
the
him that
pity
for? You know what? You said you had two chicks last night that were all over you.
Mm-hmm.
You got somebody that looks up to you, somebody that thinks you're a big star,
well,
somebody that's got time free, a lot of time, you're part-timer, three strikes already on Skippy. Hey, why don't you go hang out? Why don't two of you go hang out?
Oh, make him your wingman. Show him the way. Show him the ropes.
Would you like that, Skippy? Would you like to go out one night with Dave and really live it up with the chicks?
And be his wingman?
Well, that'd be a dream come true.
Hey, Skip, you know what we'll do? I got a damn good idea. I'll come pick you up. We'll run by Snakes in North Fort Myers. And we'll hook up with him, and we'll go to his local watering hole, and I guarantee you I'll get you laid.
Oh, that's cool, because I don't have a car or any transportation.
Don't worry, man.
Kind of hard when you don't have a car.
Yeah, that is an issue. That is an issue, but we'll get you. We'll get you. Hey, you know what? I got a van, bro. We'll load you up in the van, dude. Now, it does kind of have a jail feel to it, man, but we'll throw you, you know, we'll fix you up, man. We'll get
no
you
AC
there.
There.
Yeah, no AC.
So awesome.
I do. Skip, I do nothing but rad things, man. Okay?
That's true.
You know?
Man.
So you really like my guy's gone nuts stuff, man. Did you buy the tape?
I would love to buy that tape, but I didn't pay attention to the instructions.
I still got a box of VHSs in the van, man.
Yeah, I can't afford a VCR. Do you remember the time when you broke the windshield out of the van?
Just another day in the life of the waterman.
It's all true.
Mm-hmm.
It's all true. This guy is the only people I've heard that I know that looks up to you. You should hang out with him.
Stan, I'm nothing but rock and roll.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You're an idiot.
Can I eat a cup of soup?
You want soup?
Yeah, bro, I need some soup.
What kind of soup do you want?
What do you got?
What do I got?
Yeah.
I got everything. All kinds of soup. What's your favorite soup?
I'm not really sure, but I know I like soup, and, you know, I don't know, maybe like a potato or...
Ah, you want potato soup. Well,
yeah.
Guess what? No soup for you!
Oh, come on, man. I'm pretty hungry here.
Come back. Never!
friggin' asshole in that Southwest Florida heat. But I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. Go fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Well, you get a hold of that Stan and Haney tape.
Where would then send it to?
To me.
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney, Thursday edition of the show. Glad to have you along. I may as well come right out of the box and tell you right now, late next hour.
The big news is we're being not only allowed, but encouraged to do an interview with some big stars.
Yep. Dave and Chuck the Freak. Let's put it this way. And I'm going to, let's be honest. First of all, Haney and I are glad to have him here on 96K.
And that is the gospel truth.
Gospel truth. Somebody up in Detroit said, we want you to go on with the afternoon guys. And then somebody here said, guys, we want you to go on with the morning guys.
Now, I thought it would have been, I suggested this a while back. I thought it might have been, you know, more effective when they first went on the air.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
But, you know, the wheels turn slowly.
Yep. So,
after all, we're in the radio business, yep, not the computer business.
And just so that you guys know, they are Beasley employees like us, so.
Although they don't have nearly the tenure we do.
No, they don't. But one of the first things I do want to ask them is, have they gotten to them? Because, you know, it takes longer for others.
They got to us probably about
I'd like to think
6 years in.
I'd like to think you respected me when I kept fighting, even though you knew there was no point.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I've said this to people that worked here. I've seen, both of us have seen, people that have given up due to the pressure of the Beasleys. And their shoulders are slouched, their heads pointed down, looking at the ground. And I tell them, I said, snap the F out of it. You know what? You're going to see me. If I get pushed off a cliff, I'm going to be kicking and screaming all the way down. They're going to know exactly how I feel. Oh, okay. So it depends.
No, that's entirely untrue, Stan.
That is completely true.
You give people bad advice. Because I remember you being in... Mangus was program director of 96K Rock.
Yeah.
And he took Stan's advice to keep fighting and fight for his ideas. Yeah. And guess what?
Yeah.
He was completely out of radio for several years, and then he came back to the Beasleys and said, I give up. And they said, welcome home. You keep your head down, you'll do just fine.
Texter wanted to immediately know when Dave and Chuck the Freak are on. Introduce ourselves as 67 and 68, and what number are you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot my number.
You're 68.
No, we were
168.
That's it.
And I'm 167.
Yep.
What number are you?
That's correct. And Zito's 189.
Yep. Yep. I gotta take care of something.
Another thing will get you in trouble, walking around the hallway referring to yourself by your name. You gotta remember that number.
You're a number.
Or you don't eat.
Yep. Speaking of eating. Now, this happens periodically. Now, I want to nip this at the bud. This happens periodically over the years here at Broadcast House. Food thief. Now, there is a food thief right now. I want to head this off at the pass.
Well, of course, Richard the Engineer is food thief emeritus.
Right. And he's retired.
Mm-hmm.
He's learned. I want to head this off at the pass.
Man, that guy, you know, he's older now, but he used to have an iron stomach.
Yeah.
He didn't care
anything.
What it was.
Yeah, we fed him cat food.
Yep.
But there are people, I guess, a complete lunch was stolen. A brownie was stolen.
Was it a good brownie or just a regular brownie?
Just a regular brownie. Oh, very, very fudgy.
Big whoop.
Snack chips were stolen with the bag open at a desk. Stolen.
Wait, they took used chips?
Yeah.
Who does that?
This is why I'm going to nip it at the bud. Now... What happened is they're going around the building, and I've been approached. Hey, do you know who it is that's taking the food? Or
so they're actually concerned about this?
Yeah, oh yeah, because it's
because they really laughed it off when it was my tissues.
They didn't care. The listeners do. We got a wall of tissues now. So
I know, but Beasley was happy about it because, Haney keeps bringing more in. That's
I don't want
that's
any more focus on us.
What are you talking about?
The food thieving started when Junior came here. And it was quiet for years. And now food is getting... And so they are coming... Do you know anybody? Do you want it?
Oh, that's what they mean by that,
huh? And I think that they're leaning... Are you stealing food from other people?
Why would I be stealing people's food?
Because you're poor.
Yeah, I am poor. I'm not about to lower myself.
You
steal
have
someone's
pocketed
food.
Money.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, coming up in the email section today, we hear from Amanda's boyfriend.
the guy who evidently actually wanted bobbleheads.
Yes, yeah. And who got them for his birthday. He now replies and mentions Junior. The only thing is, I want to hear it from you. See, and I don't even know if he's going to be straight with us.
I would be surprised if he was, but, you know, new guy, scapegoat.
Yeah, now so I can tell him it's nobody here. You're not going around stealing food.
It was absolutely not.
Have you gone into the refrigerator and seen something sitting in there and say, oh, that looks good?
I've never opened that refrigerator.
All right. That's all. I just want to get it taken care of.
You know... I wasn't going to bring this up, but...
Well, you may as well.
Well, since you brought him into the conversation, how would you feel about, like, a trucker hat with a Bocephus logo on it, or maybe a cowboy hat? How would you feel about that?
I might be able to rock the cowboy hat.
All right. Because I can't take what he's wearing now.
The flat hat?
Well, you don't like the flat hat?
I got two of them. You never said anything about me wearing one.
You only put that on when you're feeling cocky, like you want to go gamble or play golf.
Yes. Yep.
As an everyday look.
Yeah. Well, because he works somewhere else and it makes him look important over there, he thinks.
I'm in
agreement with you.
And it reminds me of...
Yes! It reminds us of somebody.
Which is not good.
You know what? A Bocephus trucker's hat, you know, with the mesh in the back and high crown.
Yep.
Or a cowboy hat.
Yep. Maybe you just, if you want to keep it simple, maybe one that just has like the Stuckey's logo on it or something like that. Or even a novelty cap with the silhouette of a rooster that says, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
There, you know what? And
there's a lot of choices.
I'm going to say this right now. You're right. I see him wearing the flat hat, and it's okay. It doesn't bother me, and I've worn them. But when you just brought up who it reminds us of,
And he's a young guy, and he's following, you know, his generation's dress code, which I don't understand.
No, me neither.
Because we've never, ever been this way. It's like the people that are, like, in there, especially the closer to 20 that they are, the more it's a problem. As they get closer to 30, they learn. But it's like they want their clothes to be as tight as...
Yeah, so that they can see you breathing. No.
Not a good look.
Loose-fitting clothing for comfort and durability and wearability.
And out of respect.
And out of respect.
For the people that deal with you.
I don't need to see a man's, man's nipples protruding through his
shirt.
You want
to see Stan and I start dressing skin tight all of a sudden?
Yeah. You know?
Would you appreciate that?
Because when it's cold,
I get real perky.
So do you... So you understand where we're coming from. It's nothing personal. It's a generational thing.
It's a generational thing, yeah.
All right.
Baggy t-shirts. And if you can, over time you'll get them. Promotional shirts.
Oh, yeah. You can't go wrong with those.
And always order them one size bigger than you normally wear.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break.
See? Little by little.
Yeah, we'll learn them.
Yep.
Yep.
And his life will be destroyed, too.
Yep.
96 K-Rock is where we've been for many years.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a bad place to be. Besides, we've been told we can check out any time we like.
Yeah.
Then they said something else, but I forgot what it was. Stan,
what was that?
96
that wasn't the Eagles.
Sorry. I tried. Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Before we get to the grab bag, by the way, Dave and Chuck the Freak next hour.
But you can never leave.
There we go.
More like a James Hetfield sound you had going there.
Absolute Law text line. If he doesn't mind, I think a lot of the listeners, me included, would like to know exactly how old Junior is. Just because you guys keep bringing it up all the time, how old is Junior? How old are you?
I'm 25.
Oh, he's old enough to know better.
No, that's not true. When we were 25, we were old enough to know better. 25 is different now.
You're right. Let's do the grab bag.
When we were 25, we were knee-deep in the...
Bernie City Diner.
When I was...
I know.
Junior, when I was 25, what's he eating?
It's something he stole.
What are you eating in there?
It is not stolen food.
I just got confronted by the market manager wanting to know, who is it?
And he's chomping away.
It's something I purchased with my hard-earned money.
What hard-earned money?
The $10 you gave me.
You haven't been paid yet. And you know what? The big dilemma with them is they could understand if it happened at night. They know that somebody that works in the afternoon is doing it.
They didn't care when people were stealing from us.
No, they got new employees now that they care about. They didn't care about us.
I can't. This world is so friggin' hypocritical.
You know, it's a different world.
I can't, man.
There are employees here now that are protected. Yes, that would be offended.
And they know their rights, don't they?
Grab bag, Bernie City Diner. Speaking of that, let's go to our feature that we do every once in a while.
Hey, it's Millennial Minute, guys. I'm Caden, Erica, Sienna, Ross, Michael Smith, Edwards, and this is the show for Millennials by Millennials. First, we go to the mail, then we get the hashtag of the day. What's the mail, Christina? Who's it from?
This is from Uzbekistan in Plainfield, New Jersey.
Cool. What do they have to say?
Caden, I am writing you to see if you know of any restaurants that are literally socially conscious. I literally love the idea of the humane treatment of animals, but I also love to eat chicken. Any suggestions?
I actually do. Listen, we don't like to eat things with a face, but if you have to, the spot is Buddy System Meats in Brooklyn, New York. These animals are treated totally humanely. In fact, prior to them getting to the restaurant, they are fresh off a 10-day Mediterranean vacation, and they kill them with kindness. So there you go. That's your answer, and it's your hashtag of the day. Hashtag it, everybody. Buddy System Meats. Thanks for joining us on Millennial Minute. I'm Caden, Erica, Sienna, Ross, Michael, Smith, Edwards.
That's a $1,000 CD player.
Yeah, it sure is. I got one for $57. It plays better than that. Get a load of this. This is so creepy. This is so disturbing. Guy in Colorado went on a trip. He hired a dog sitter for his dog, Jimbo. He came home a little earlier than expected and found two shirtless men in his home, a bottle of lube in the living room, and neither one of them was the dog sitter. Where was she? In the shower.
The general smell in the house was just disgusting. I've had all the windows and doors open. There was an open bottle of personal lubricant and a camcorder on the end table.
No,
so
that smell.
It's pretty self-explanatory what was going on.
But to be completely honest, I didn't have WD-40 and my keys were stuck in my car, so I ended up grabbing what I had in my car for the things that, you know, I do in my personal time, and I didn't think to put it back in my car.
There's also what I can only assume are bodily fluids on the couch.
I wouldn't know anything about that because I know that I took a shower at his house and I sat on the couch and a towel, and that was before my friends got there.
It was just a total mess, and I can only imagine what poor Jimbo saw in there.
I'd like to apologize to him for making him feel like I violated his house because that wasn't my intention. I misinterpreted information and I had guests over when I shouldn't.
Again, that's a millennial. Let's see what else. It only gets weirder. Somebody died, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, somebody died. A woman died in a car crash last week in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Why? Because her boyfriend cut the brake lines. Why did he cut the brake lines? Well, he needed something to make a crack pipe out of. The woman, however, was a witness in a prison corruption case, and someone who knew her seems to think she was murdered to keep her from testifying.
99% of the time, it's mainly operator error. But then when you look into it, and that's why we have these inspections of the vehicles, then we determine, hey, this time it wasn't the operator. This vehicle is actually tampered with, and that's what caused the death in this crash.
We saw the car going through, and she hit the two parked cars to there, and she hit the tree. And me and my coach stopped, and we got out. we like walk over, and everybody was there from Cooper's, and they was trying to get the door open.
And she was a very sweet, caring person. She's done a lot of things for other people, and then this is what happens. Just horrible.
Told you AI was a problem.
She was run off the road a month or so ago, and it just seems wrong. You cut somebody's brake line to use the line to smoke crack. I mean, that's a little far-fetched.
Yeah, well, he didn't want his identity disclosed. There's a new list out of rock's most repetitive songs, where the lyric isn't too deep. It's repeated over and over and over again. Coming in at number three, Rod Stewart. So I remember every picture tells a story, baby. Every picture tells a story, baby. Every picture tells a story, number three.
It does. I think it's worth emphasizing. Not enough for them to debate.
Woo! Don't throw that in there. You gotta get it to 3.5. Now fade. Coming in at number 2, the Foo Fighters. Come on, where are you?
$1,000.
Is someone getting the best, the best, the best, the best of you? Is someone getting the best, the best, the best, the best of you? Has someone taken the faith? It's real, the pain you feel, the trust you must confess. Is someone getting the best, the best, the best, the best of you?
What was the number one song in rock, ranked number one as the most repetitive?
Granddaddy of them all.
Got it, baby.
Birdman! Well, everybody's hurt.
We got already on the Absolute Law text line 2 votes for El Camino as the most
repetitive. She liked to drink.
She like do drug.
Yep. She liked to what?
In the El Camino.
Yep.
Matt Goring finally solving the Michael Jackson mystery on The Simpsons. Did Michael Jackson ever appear on The Simpsons? And it's a pretty interesting story.
Yes, but it's a secret.
Yep. Michael Jackson did appear back in the season 3 premiere back in 1991. If you remember, he played the big bald white guy from the mental institution who thought he was Michael Jackson. Although not credited in the show, it was Michael Jackson.
What'd you say your name was?
Michael Jackson.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Well, have you heard of MTV?
Nope.
Motown?
No.
Beat It?
You beat it.
Thriller?
What was that last one?
Thriller.
Nope.
You seem like a nice guy. Why'd they put you in here?
Because I wore a pink shirt.
I understand.
People thought I was crazy for the way I dressed.
What'd you wear?
One white glove covered with rhinestones.
Now, here's where it gets interesting. Uncredited Michael Jackson on The Simpsons. In that same episode, the Michael Jackson character, who was voiced by Michael Jackson, also sang a song with Bart for Lisa's birthday. It was called Happy Birthday, Lisa. Michael Jackson wrote the song, but they had to get a Michael Jackson impersonator to do the song because...
He was bashful that day?
No, they had to avoid issues with his record company. So when he sings, it's not Michael Jackson.
Oh, you mean like his most recent Sony release?
Yes. It's an impersonator doing a song written by Michael Jackson.
Lisa, it's your birthday. God bless you this day. You gave me the gift of a little sister, and I'm proud of you today. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. I wish you love and goodwill. I wish you praise and joy.
I wish you better than your heart desires.
And your first kiss from a boy. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa.
Yeah. So there you go. The mystery solved.
Yeah. A lot of mysteries about him. Put out that record, and it wasn't him.
Yeah.
But it was Michael Jackson. And they didn't tell you that it wasn't Michael Jackson on all the tracks.
No.
And they finally had to admit it in court.
Yeah. It was really a group called Orion.
And for many years...
Those of you that get that.
And for many years... People thought that Orion was really him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Roddy McDowell came out and people realized, oh, someone could just sound like him.
Yeah. We're going to take a break.
How do you even remember Orion?
Don't ask me. Don't even ask me. It just popped in my head.
I can see where he'd appeal to you, though.
Yeah.
Orion.
Yeah. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. Also, political correctness.
He had to perform in a mask.
I know that. Also, political correctness now affecting our history, Haney. I'll tell you about that when we come back. Also, David Chuck the Freak in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll find out if the Beasleys have gotten to them.
Oh, during the 3 o'clock hour? Yeah, any specific time?
I think 3:35.
Okay.
I think. I don't know.
Anything we should know, Jeff, about Dave and Chuck the Freak? Any sore spots we shouldn't mention?
Yeah, sore spots.
I just think that they're starting to feel the way that you guys feel. And I think there's going to be a common
bond.
Brotherhood.
Yeah. Are they safe or, you know... Is there anything, they like girls or?
Yeah, I think they're good. I think you're going to really like them.
All right.
Okay, cool.
And we'll be talking to them in just a little bit.
You got to give me a heads up when something like that.
Yeah, because we might say something that might be inappropriate to them.
Right. No, I think you're good.
All right.
Ah, thank God.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We made Jason Priestley cry like a woman. And we can do the same for you if you're some sort of effeminate, drug-addled, washed-up asshole. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Thursday afternoon. Telephone number into the studio, area code 239-277-9600. Tell us what's on your mind. We opened the phones up for you. This is your time. If you contribute, we could give you a prize. I'll go over those momentarily. About 25 minutes away from our morning show joining us, Dave and Chuck the Freak. And we'll be chatting with them. And then later on today, our question of the week, 277-9600. Haney, I told you that political correctness is affecting our history now. And I saw this and tack this on to yesterday's stuff. Let's make this number five or six that's on the list of things that are driving me nuts. This one, when I saw this, I said, you've got to be kidding me. The Venice Film Festival is going on right now. And yesterday they had the preview of the big blockbuster that is going to be coming out starring Ryan Gosling called First Man. And it is the biopic picture of Neil Armstrong, first man to walk on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And big budget. And it looks, I saw the trailer, it looks great. Here's the headline from the Venice Film Festival. They get the first look at the movie First Man about Neil Armstrong and the first man to walk on the moon. First Man, starring Ryan Gosling, opened at the Venice Film Festival on Wednesday. The film chronicles the life of Neil Armstrong from 1961 until the moon landing in 1969. Critics noted it leaves out a very important moment in the film. A very important moment. That being when Neil Armstrong plants the U.S. flag on the moon. It's not in the film. Why?
They had to cut the budget somewhere.
Nope. Why isn't that in the film? Well, they asked Ryan Gosling, why isn't the moment that Neil and Buzz put the American stars and stripes up? The answer, that achievement transcended countries and borders, and the American flag was not necessary. The achievement was not an American thing, a United States thing. It transcends that. It transcends countries and borders. So we decided to leave that moment of the Neil Armstrong biopic.
You're not allowed. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to make movies like that.
I totally agree. It is changing history.
And there is so much American history involved in that, including dead president, dead astronauts.
Yep. And I guess they cover all of that in the film. They talk about, I guess, in the trailer that I saw, the space race with the Soviets, the Apollo 1 fire, Neil Armstrong and his previous missions and his training to go into that. But the crowning achievement of this film is him walking on the moon, and they leave the planting of the American flag out of it. And critics noticed it right off the bat at the Venice Film Festival, and they asked him, oh, no, that achievement transcended countries and borders.
Uh-huh.
We'll leave it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's the way it is in Soviet history, too, because they didn't lose a single cosmonaut.
According to them. According to them.
They were only ever successful.
Yep. I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Well, it's because, Stan, the American flag is a symbol of oppression. We have raised a suicidal generation. Yeah. Lemmings.
Yeah. Somebody pointed out, and I'll go over the prizes here in just a second, and then we'll see what Haney's got in store for us. Somebody pointed out, it might have been on one of the news shows, have you ever seen a conservative left-wing person with a personality? Ever see them smiling and enjoying themselves and enjoying life? They always got a scowl on their face. They always are super serious.
Well, unless they're lining up for the new iPhone.
Yep. 2779. Then, well, that's a mission. They'll camp out there. And there's a goal. Get the iPhone. Not that you're going to go and hang out there and meet people and have a nice time, camaraderie. And
you know, I could only speak for myself. I think you're there with me. But I remember being a kid and learning about World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, and knowing these people, and just thinking, there's no way in hell I could ever be as tough as they are. And now you've got a generation where it's like, let's prove just how far away we are from that.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, don't look for the American flag to be planted.
And these are people who are protected, who truly believe, well, the police are evil and need to be abolished, but I don't need a gun because the cops will be there in 30 seconds.
Yeah. 2779600. Well, as Don Lemon pointed out on CNN the other night, it's in their name. Okay, they are here to help us. Anti-fascists, they're good people.
Oh, thank you, Don Lemon.
2779600. Here's what we got for you right now. And again, we might.
When that guy started out, I thought he had guts.
A lot of people did. We got Stan and Haney Babacusaw. We got Stan and Haney bobbleheads. We've got Bernie's City Diner. We've got Subway. And we also have an auto health check from Naples Nissan. You got to get that oil changed. Well, head it down to Naples Nissan with your certificate you could get. And you get the oil change, brake check, top off the fluids, tire rotation, multi-point inspection, all done while you wait. 2779600. What do you got for us, Haney?
Nothing but the absolute best. You might recognize the slide guitar on this song. Gentleman, first name Dwayne.
Played a pretty nice slide guitar. Some say the best.
Known for that, man.
Look, this is what we're dealing with. I'll get to your phone calls. This is what we're dealing with. Absolute Law text line. This is the battle that we fight, Haney. Operation Paperclip, guys. The Nazis helped put a man on the moon. Should we have put the Nazi flag on the moon as well? Shut up.
We took it.
Yep. We made it ours. Ripped it down and said, guess what? You're working for us. USA.
Come with me if you want to live.
Yep. Well, how did they all get cut off like that? I didn't touch a button. Oh, there we go. Try that again. That was weird. We got brand new copper lines and phones. That shouldn't happen.
And, sometimes dirty things got to happen. Would you rather the Wunderweapons end up with the Soviets?
Yeah. Maybe you would.
I don't know. Given your politics, maybe you would.
Nowadays.
Because what a tragedy, the fall of the Soviet Union. A worker's paradise.
Ahoy.
Ahoy, this is Miles.
Hey, Miles. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I was wondering, you got Dave and Chuck the Freak in the studio with you today, or are you having them on the phone?
They're up in Detroit.
No, we don't have the budget for that.
You know what? I asked to have them flown in, and the Beasleys looked at me like I smoked crack.
No, of course they did.
Hey, why don't you just fly them in?
What? That makes absolutely no sense.
Shut your damn mouth.
You know what? I'm going to go behind the scenes a little bit right now. That when their first week was here, I said, you got two guys up in Detroit that are in the Beasley family. I said, wouldn't it be great to tell them we're going to fly you down?
Have they even seen this one?
I don't know. We're going to put you at a couple of nice resorts, do you the first week here in the studio, and get to know.
No, that you don't understand. That would make the morale too high.
Yeah. Yep. Ahoy.
Ahoy, gentlemen. How you doing today?
Good. Who's this?
It's Howard.
Hey, hey, Howard.
Yeah, if you could certainly talk to Dave and Chuck, tell them what you really enjoy them, and Lisa, too. And I do have one problem, though.
What?
I have a Lonely Stand bobblehead that I get once.
All right, we'll take care of it right now. Hold on.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, hold on. Because I would have kept you on longer, but your phone was bothering me.
That was good. We got a Dave and Chuck fan.
Yep. They're growing. Let me explain. When Haney and I first came to town, it took a little while. And you win over your community, and they are. More and more people are saying that they're tuning in and they like them. And I'm one of them. 277.
I won't get up that early for anybody.
Well, I know. You never have. No, for nobody.
Yeah, I wouldn't even listen to my own show when I was doing it at that hour. Yep.
I got to tell you something very quickly that just popped in. You know, I won't get up for anybody. This is not Haney. This has nothing to do with him. It has something to do with somebody else that used to work here in a position of mid-management. I'll say he was a program director before Jeff Zito. And he was, it was probably about 9 or 10 o'clock. What time do they have to get in here? 9 o'clock. Let's say it was 8:45. Because, you know, the rest of the people here have to get in at, 9 o'clock. And this program director actually brought down a friend of his from another state to come down and work. And obviously the guy comes down, he doesn't know anybody. But he's trying to make a go of it in Fort Myers. And he's struggling, you know, not making a whole heck of a lot of money. And he's coming to work to be here by 9 o'clock, and his car breaks down. He's on the side of the road. He doesn't know anybody to call other than his buddy, who's the program director, to come and give him a hand. He calls, this is no lie, he calls the program director up, who answers the phone. Yeah, buddy, what's up? Hey, man, I need your help. I got to be in work in 10 minutes. I'm on the side of the road.
You're the only person I know in this town.
Only person I know in this town. Can you come by and pick me up and get me into the radio station on time so I'm not late? His reply, I can't, man. I haven't even taken a shower yet, and you're going to have to figure out some other way to get in there because I can't. You know, what do you want from me? I was still in my robe. Oh. Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Hi, who's this?
It's Alex.
Hey, Alex, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, you're going through your political correctness. What has the peanut done to piss everybody off? My grandkids can't take a peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, everybody's allergic. Everybody's allergic. You know, when I grew up, half the class in elementary school had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You didn't see any of this going on.
Well, in Illinois, we had peanut butter on the table. The school supplied it.
Yeah, because it was cheap and nutritious.
Yeah.
Now it affects kids. I almost don't want to ask Junior if he has a peanut allergy. What can I get you, buddy?
I don't need nothing.
All right, pal.
Allow him some remaining dignity, Stan.
I will. That's why I'll keep it a mystery. But it's the truth. I never heard of this stuff when I was a kid. I'm going to have plenty of time here for Dave and Chuck the Freak. We're going to take a break. We will be back, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean,
you might
have had a couple of kids in your class that, you know, maybe somebody had asthma or something like that. You know, and you looked out for them. You understood, okay, they got a problem.
You dealt with it on an individual basis.
Yes.
And the teacher and the students dealt with it on an individual basis.
It was, let's take care of this kid, not let's change the rules for everybody.
Yeah. Damn peanut allergy. What the hell? Jeez.
And that's racist, too.
I think
that's
it is.
A direct shot at George Washington Carver.
It sure is.
It devalues his achievement.
He invented the peanut.
Yep.
Dave and Chuck the Freak, later on today, our question of the week. This is the Stan and Haney program.
this is not a test. If this were an actual test, we would have told you otherwise. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. What a banner day this is. Ah, 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. A couple of months ago, 96 K-Rock made a change in the morning, and we brought in a member of the Beasley family, Dave and Chuck the Freak. They were and are broadcasting in Detroit, and they said, hey, we already got these guys by the throat, so let's put them on in Fort Myers. And I said,
did they even have a say in it?
I don't know. And from the very beginning, I said, let's get these guys on the show and welcome them to Southwest Florida. And lo and behold, they're here right now. Dave and Chuck the Freak. Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you guys?
All right.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, how are you now? You got to tell us who you guys are. My name is Stan, and my partner with the deep voice is Haney. And who am I talking with right now?
So I'm Dave.
Hey, Dave.
And I am Chuck the Freak. What's up, guys?
Hey, guys. Did you nap before coming on?
I literally just woke up.
Yeah, it's brutal. I don't envy you guys.
No joke.
Should we start out with a Larry King question?
Go ahead.
Chuck. Why Chuck the Freak? How'd you become known as the Freak?
Oh, man. Really, it was probably a really bad radio consultant idea.
Yep.
From almost 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, so they came in and told you, you're going to be known as Chuck the Freak.
They came in and said, well, Dave and Chuck sounds fine, but if we have some pizzazz,
yeah,
you know, so it was weird. We did a thing and people sort of voted on it. And, Chuck the Freak.
That wasn't Greg Gillespie doing that, was it?
No.
Okay. Good. Yeah, just checking.
And just checking. It seemed like it had his fingerprints all over it.
I know that in our history of doing radio, Haney and I have been at this for like 30 years, and there hasn't been a consultant once that liked us.
There are. They just don't work for Beasley.
Right. Have you ever found a consultant that really likes you guys and that they think that you're just perfect? Because I haven't met one, at least, that worked for Beasley.
No, we haven't either, because that's their job, right? Their job is to pick apart your show and try and earn their money. And the best one, though, was the guy that came in and just literally put us in a room and made us watch an episode of Seinfeld.
Well, guys, now that we're all comfortable, the real reason for our meeting here today, guys, first of all, we need to get pumped. And second of all, I think you guys both know the direction we need to go is to let the music do the talking.
We've been there, my friend.
For everybody here in Southwest Florida, of course, you guys are at our Beasley affiliate in Detroit. How did you guys get started? How long you been in the business? When did you guys become partners? Give us a little background on Dave and Chuck the Freak.
Well, Chuck and I started in radio together, pretty much. I was the news guy, the serious news guy on a news talk station, and Chuck was the producer. And we worked weekends, and we'd come in at, like, you know, 4 a.m. on a Saturday morning after partying all Friday night and try and pull it together. And somehow we managed to keep each other awake and on the air. And then a position opened up down the hall at a rock station, and Chuck started there first as their producer, and then they brought me in as the news guy, and it slowly evolved from there. So together, just the two of us, it's been a long time. It's been, like, 17 years, longer than I've been married.
And,
I know that.
And you know what? And that is so important. So often, and we bring up about consultants or radio stations, they want to pair two guys together right off the bat, and you got to make sure chemistry works. And that is kind of like how Haney and I, all those years ago, kind of evolved into working together.
I think it really helps if you start out as enemies too.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys did. I don't know if you guys liked each other from the very beginning, but you find out that chemistry is what it's all about. Haney and I, we first met and worked in the same radio station together in 1987. And we did not like each other. We locked horns very early on, and then as time went on, we went years without talking to each other.
And the weird thing is, when we started out, I was the hothead,
and now I am. Go figure.
Go ahead. Pretty lucky that we started out as friends, and we've, believe it or not, continued to be friends through all the years. If anyone working tightly in any radio or not, you're working in the same room with someone, you're trapped there for hours a day. If you don't like them, that would be hell.
Oh, it is brutal when you have to fake it.
Because I've been there, trust me. I've been a part of some really bad morning shows.
I mean, seriously, we've been here at Beasley now for 27 years, and if they told us to fake it and be something that we weren't, I literally could not do that.
Right. Yeah, it's not in our power either. And you know, our show can be pretty crazy at times, and people think that it's staged or we set stuff up, and that's not how we work. Everything is genuine. You know, anyone who calls into our show, it's a real caller. Some of these stations have actors and stuff like that.
Yep.
We've never done anything like that. We would never do anything like that. And I think that's what makes the show successful. People pick up on that. They can tell it's genuine. They can tell the laughter is real, that you're actually enjoying doing what you're doing, and I think that's why we've created like a cult following through the years and been successful.
Have you ever had any legal issues?
You know what? Nothing too crazy.
Hold on, I heard something there.
No, I bring that up because
nothing that ever went anywhere. I mean,
the reason I bring that up is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Is it was in a legal context, and this attorney honestly believed that Stan and I wrote scripts out for every show and wanted access to them.
Yeah. We want the documents. We want the scripts to the show that you've done. We've never written a script in our life.
Right. That sounds ridiculous, but I believe there's probably people in the business that do that every word is planned out in advance.
I can't foresee that. Do you guys go through the same thing that we do, where you'll have a listener call in or write an email to you, and or somebody that you just see out on the street? Hey, you remember what you did yesterday, and you did, and you have no recollection of doing it.
Of course, we don't remember what we even did this morning.
Exactly,
so I'm sure there's no way.
Yeah. No, if you did, you'd go insane.
Yeah,
we said our listeners are like our ginkgo biloba because they remember everything we did, when we did it.
Isn't it amazing?
Yep.
They'll come back and tell you things word for word that you said like 10 years ago. And you, it sounds like you remember it better than I do. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's totally true.
All right, let's get to the brass tacks of this. You guys successful up in Detroit. The Beasleys come in and take over the radio station. Have they broken your heart yet?
Every single day. Yeah. No, we're kidding.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
honestly,
I'm not.
Guys, so we've been lucky. You know, our show has been incredibly successful in Detroit. And so we weren't sure if we wanted to mess with that, to tell you the truth. But we started about just over a year ago in Boston. And then they approached us about being a part of K-Rock. And that just seemed like a pretty natural fit. You know, the music falls in line with our kind of show. And I get to Florida pretty much every chance I can get. So, we jumped on it.
This is what I want to know about you guys, because I suggested it to our program director, Jeff Zito. I mean, you guys are stuck in Detroit. You got the winter is just around the corner. Wouldn't you like to come down here, stay at a nice beach resort with palm trees and frozen drinks, and do the show from here and pipe it back up to Detroit for a few weeks?
Sure, maybe from the Beasley's house. Maybe we can talk him into letting us.
That sounds like a good idea, but having experienced that, bad things happen. Yeah.
You pray to God. You pray.
Oh, really?
You go to the Beasley compound, and let me tell you, it's a compound. And sure. You are walking around.
Yeah,
on
whatever you
shells.
Think it is, it's bigger and it's nicer.
And we had an old partner that worked with us and broke one of their sitting chairs by the pool. And
oh
we
my
got
God.
And their mansion is right on the beach. So when that happened, we got on the boat as quickly as possible and skedaddled out of there. And it was like, no, you don't want to do
done.
That.
Yeah, we came in on the boat. And took the beach like Normandy and left like Dunkirk.
That's pretty much it. Zito, our program director, has been telling us now that you guys have been on the air for a couple of months now, though, you're starting to get the people from this area contacting you, calling the show and emailing you.
Yeah, you know what? We've had lots of, listen, we know, change. A lot of people have been listening to the station for years, and like anything else, change is not good with people, especially if they like what they were listening to.
Right.
So we understand that. We're not fooled. We get it. We may not be for everyone, but we've had a ton of love from your area, from, you know, the folks in Naples and Fort Myers and the surrounding area that are, you know, they're reaching out, they're calling us, they're emailing us, and they've given us a chance, and they like it. And that's all we ask. Hey, if you give it a chance, you don't like it, turn the dial.
Yeah, and you know the whole deal when you know when you're dealing with it yourself. When someone goes, "Well, what's your show about?" and you just go, "I don't know how to answer that."
we still can't answer it when they ask us.
No, and we're pretty much the same. We talk about everything and anything. We poke fun at everything and anything. In this day and age, we try to be the anti news channel. You know, we'll, if something big happens, we may address it, but we avoid politics. We avoid things that divide people. We literally just want to make people laugh.
Well, but yeah, between Detroit, Boston, and Fort Myers, you probably got to watch it.
Yeah.
Even before, honestly, guys, we made that decision. Like, we get into heated debates, and it was just bumming us out, and that's not what we just love to laugh. So
sometimes,
stuff that we can have fun with.
Sometimes you get so exasperated by it because we, Southwest Florida, traditionally, and I'm going to give you a great example of us talking politics on the show. I'll give you a great example. Mm-hmm. We're primarily, they say, a conservative part of Southwest Florida. Now, go back to 2008.
Well, to make it very clear, in most of our local offices, everything is decided in the Republican primary. There is no Democrat running.
Exactly. But in 2008, when Obama was running for president, Haney and I were talking about, hey, you know, hope and change. And here we have an African-American president. Could be. They accused us of being the biggest libs and left-wing Democrats. So then Trump's running. And we're talking about, hey, Trump's the outsider. He can go and maybe make some changes here. And then we were accused of being the biggest right-wing people under the sun. You can't win.
No, you can't. And I think that's what we realized, that it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter if it's just an offhand comment one way or the other way. Different people can hear the same thing that you said two totally different ways. So it's best, we always found it was just best to sort of like concentrate on making people laugh and don't worry about the stuff that's going to raise the hair on somebody's neck or back.
And I don't know about you guys, like we found that with the news lately being bombarded with all this stuff, people get so divisive, it's so crazy, and a lot of people just can't take it anymore. So we want them, it's like their safe haven, they can tune in the morning.
Well,
you're not going to hear that.
I don't know if you guys do it. Here's what we try to do. I think that when you tune into our show at any different segment, you're going to hear something else. We might go for a break and get quite political and let people blow off steam and let ourselves blow off steam. But the very next break, we're going to be on to something else. And it might be funny, humorous. It might be an ironic thing. It might be a
comedy. It might be depressing, a real tune out.
Yep, one or the other. But there's going to be something different every break.
Yeah, absolutely. We are the same way. We try and change it up all the time. Even in you know, breaks themselves, we try not to focus on one topic too long and just kind of keep it entertaining and just lighthearted and just, you know.
Now, we want to be fair to you guys, and full disclosure, we're being fed certain information
by the program director who's in the other room giggling. What does that even say? I can't even read it.
Chuck's dad is the Breister. Ask him to tell us about him.
The Breister. What's the deal, Chuck?
Well, you know, I've got one of those dads that, you know, just my whole life, you know, basically tried to run my life the whole time. And he's just sort of become a character on the show. He kind of has a way that he would talk. He sort of talked like this to me his whole life, boy. You have to do this and that. And
he wanted me to quit radio and work at the casino.
Did not want Chuck to get into radio at all.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, boy, you're never going to make any money doing this radio.
Oh, God. So, I think
he's quite a guy.
But we all have somebody in our family that has done that to us.
Are you talking about my first wife that said, well, if you just work at Kmart, we wouldn't be having these problems?
Exactly. I had a grandmother who was up in Rhode Island, and she had a little girl work in the store with her during the summer in her little shop, and she would do college radio. Meanwhile, her grandson, me, I'm at a 100,000-watt flamethrower, and they go, and she will always come up and ask, when are you going to get a job? When are you going to start work? What are you talking? Why can't you be like Betty Jo at the store? She's successful. I hear her on the radio. It's like, what are you kidding me?
You know, but see, there you go. That's the stuff, though, that everyone can relate to. Everyone has those people in their lives. You know, my mom reads a ton of erotic novels. It's highly disturbing.
Yeah.
Called her on the air one day without me knowing and had her read some pages from one of the erotic novels she was currently reading. It was the grossest, most disturbing moment of my radio career, but it's real, you know, it's people have this stuff going on in their lives, and they get it too.
I think it's very important if you have parents, you do this show kind of show, and you have parents alive, that you bring them on the air and show them that you're human. We had Haney's mom on a couple of months back with one of her favorite recipes that she made Haney when he was a little boy.
Which she now disavows because it's too unhealthy.
And for years I would have my mom on the air. It humanizes you and makes you realize, you know, it's also a mental self-check that, I had to go through all that stuff.
And it's also good brownie points, because then you don't have to make the call in your free time, but you get credit for it.
Yeah.
Right.
As much business as possible on the air. That way I got my free time for me.
All right, I'm going to ask, I know you guys have to get ready for a show tomorrow and all that.
And I want to make sure that I say this to them before we run out of time. God bless you both. You probably don't know this.
This is true.
But you have saved a life, because if I had to get up at 4 in the morning again, I would have been dead within a week. So I want you guys to just kick ass all over the place.
I want you to be so successful.
And I want you to think about me fondly as I'm getting up at the crack of noon every day.
Oh, you bastard.
Guys, thanks so much for spending time with us. Be sure to Dave and Chuck the Freak every weekday morning here on K-Rock, starting at 6 o'clock. And hopefully tune into us, Stan and Haney, in the afternoon. That's the other thing. One last thing before I go. If this thing works really well with Dave and Chuck the Freak in the morning and Stan and Haney in the afternoon, I think it would work in Detroit for us, too.
There you go. We'll have to break that news to our current Detroit afternoon.
We're not interested in Boston, but Detroit, I think we'd do well.
Yeah, we'd do great. Guys, thanks so much.
You can keep Boston.
Thank you guys for having us.
There he goes, Dave and Chuck the Freak.
Not a fan of Boston.
Why not? Well, I would like to work in Boston, but I'm not a fan of Boston people.
Yeah.
They're the biggest jerks.
Hotheads.
Yep. They just, they're problems. Now, if we were in New York, I'd do that. Philadelphia, I'd do that.
No.
Detroit? Oh, well, you won't go back to Philly.
Nope.
We're going to take a break when we come back.
Well, you remember I wrote that song, Going Back to Philly, Going Back to Philly. I don't think so.
Thanks to Dave and Chuck the Freak, and we're going to take a break. We'll be back.
They know what they're doing.
I think they do. We'll check traffic, news headlines.
Not quite as self-destructive as we are.
No, we're horribly self-destructive, but we've been under the Beasley hooks longer than they have. The hooks have been just, and it's a barbed hook.
Oh, yeah. They wouldn't, the barb they use on us, I don't think you can legally fish for tuna with that barb.
No, you can't.
Because it's inhumane.
No. Yep. Once you catch them, you take the hook out, you can't throw them back. We're Stan and Haney.
Go, go, where the fashions are. Go, go, where the savings are.
Hey, kids, you know that Stan's Clothing Treasure Warehouse City Emporium World is your in spot for all the groovy styles. But since Labor Day is almost here, Stan's also has some boss deals on all your Labor Day picnic supplies, like 65% natural ground beef, mostly meat hot dogs, packed or linked, chicken thighs and wings. Sorry, no white meat. All your mayonnaise-based salads, like macaroni, potato, and shrimp salad in convenient 1, 5, and 10-gallon containers. Paper goods like plates, cups, and utensils, including the popular sporks. Keep pests away with Bug Off Bug Spray, tested to be 80% DDT-free, so it's safe even for the little ones. Save big on scratch and dent grills, factory second lighter fluid, plus get bags of ice. Hurry in while they're still frozen. And kids, don't worry. Stan's Clothing Treasure Warehouse City Emporium World Mart Center Place Market still has Mod back-to-school threads on sale. Hey, don't get caught wearing white after Labor Day. Get all the funky fall colors today.
Go, go, where the fashions are. Go, go, where the savings are. Save, save more on family clothing. Go, go.
For the location nearest you, look for our half-page ad in the latest Pennywise Shopper.
Sweet heaven. The Beasleys actually pay these two for this?
Not enough.
Oh, yeah. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. We're going to get you updated on traffic here in just a second. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails.
And a big thank you for Dave and Chuck the Freak joining us.
Yeah.
This is an ungodly hour for them.
If you do that, and I know a lot of people go to work, and they whether you get in at 7 o'clock, get in at 8 o'clock. When you do a morning show, and Haney and I did one for 20 years, you get up at night, and your day on the air wraps up at about 10. You do some production work and stuff. Maybe you get out around noon, have some lunch, and the thing you want to do is take a nap because you know you have to go to bed by about 8:30, 9 o'clock to get ready to get up at 4:20 again in the morning. And right now, this is what they call the morning guy's sweet zone, where they can get a little nap in, get a little shut-eye, relax a little bit, and thank them for coming on. And because it's not easy. It slowly kills you. Now, if you don't think I'm telling you the truth, and Haney and I know this firsthand, that's why I'm a little worried. Go to like some radio site, and they got plenty of them out there. They got one for the state of Florida. They got one for take a look at the radio legends. 20 some odd years here, 20, 30 years. They all die at about 55.
And they die in a very specific way.
Yep.
Usually by that point, living in an efficiency.
Yep.
And they're found in their recliners.
Days later.
Yep.
Yeah.
B-comp has set in.
Yep. Dashing Dan the radio man for 35 years at W whatever it is was found dead in his efficiency.
Uh-huh. Penniless and insane.
Authorities say the body was discovered probably at least a week after he died, because nobody would come around. I'm telling you, probably 80% of longtime radio people, the window of death is like 55 to 58. That's when they croak, because little by little, it takes a piece of your soul. Let's get you updated on traffic. I feel fine.
K-Rock traffic.
Yep. I'm right my age right now, I'm right in that sweet spot. If I can get past 58, I'm good. All right, let's start. Fort Myers.
So if you can get past that window. Yes,
then you live to be old. Fort Myers got a crash in the 1000 block of North Waterway Drive. Also, Fort Myers crash, Abrams Boulevard and Buckingham Road. Still another one in Fort Myers crash, 12,000 block of Iona Road. And one more for you. It's in Lehigh Acres. Traffic control in the 300 block of Delaware Road. And that's, again, in Lehigh Acres. Another traffic report for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, here's Haney right now with today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you didn't know.
Okay.
Ladies, are you pregnant? Could you use $11,000? Then we have some good news for you, maybe.
In less than an hour.
A former Olympian arrives home to a nasty surprise, finds his dog sitter, female dog sitter, in the shower.
Yeah.
With two random shirtless lubed up gentlemen and a video camera.
Action.
We absolutely need to temporarily shut down every college and university and purge the faculty.
That's not a bad idea. A cooling off.
They'll all be closed down for about 6 months.
Yeah.
While tenure is abolished.
Yep.
And just clean them out. Why do I say this?
Why do you say this now, Haney? Why now?
Florida State University is allowing freshmen to opt out or skip a stress reduction class. Why?
Why?
Because it might be too stressful to take the course. You know, math really stresses me out.
Yeah, I better skip it.
And finally, this is a familiar story. Man fakes a heart attack to get a free ride to the hospital cafeteria.
Oh, where have I heard that story before?
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. We try to find a time each and every day for some laughter.
Oh, my God.
We're going to try it right now with the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
Today is Frankenstein Day. I don't know. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
Frankenstein fun facts.
Top Frankenstein fun facts.
Even he refers to himself as Mary Shelley's hymn. Not a lot of people know this. If you strap a car battery to the neck bolts, his nipples explode.
Oh, yeah.
He enjoys punching smug know-it-alls in the face when they remind him that technically Frankenstein is the name of the doctor and not the monster. Yeah. Despite all the grunting, he's easier to comprehend than Sylvester Stallone.
Yep.
Still moans less than Russell Crowe at the dessert bar.
I love it.
Those bolts in his neck come in handy when you need to charge your phone. In movies, he's generally portrayed by Boris Karloff.
Mm.
On television, he's portrayed by Howie Long. Not a lot of people know this. He's got a slutty older sister.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Skankenstein.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus! Mary and Joseph!
And finally, the very top Frankenstein fun fact.
Yes.
It was manufactured by doctors long before the Kardashians made it cool. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Thank you, Freddie. Email time. It's easy to email us.
Or it can be difficult. That's up to you.
It's up to you, however you want to make it. Ahoy. At StanandHaney.com. This is from Amanda's boyfriend, Mark.
Was this further testimony in Bobblehead Gate?
Yeah. Ahoy, gentlemen. Mark here. As a longtime listener, it was hard moving away from Southwest Florida in 2007. I never found another radio show to replace the missing void in my daily routine. Fast forward to about 6 months before your 5,000th show. By the way, if anybody's listening, we're well past 6,000 now. Fast forward about 6 months before your 5,000th show, and ahoy, the news was available on the website. Shortly after, the whole podcast was now available. Want to thank D-Train for putting that up first. The new Stan and Haney technical revolution allowed me to spread the good word to my friends and loved ones around here in the Chicago area. My girlfriend, Amanda, is one of those loved ones. When I heard her email being read on the air about 2 weeks ago requesting the bobbleheads, I couldn't have been more excited. Haney, thanks for covering the shipping on that, too.
I am, you know, the more I learn about this, the more I know I made the right call.
Yep. Little did I know what would unravel over the next 2 weeks. Lies.
Yep, what should have been a joyous occasion.
Yep, deceit. Questionable accounting. Poor logistic practices.
Embezzlement.
Yep, yes. I am glad we could help jump in to Junior's new role. Junior, remember, D-Train set a very high bar, but luckily for you, the Waterman, woo, is also there for comparison.
He's right, because D-Train would have brought me a receipt with the tracking number change.
Yeah. Dave, the Waterman, they never would have gotten mailed.
No.
And he'd say, what money?
Yeah, they'd end up in a dumpster somewhere.
Thanks for making this one of the best gifts of my life. P.S. I have attached a picture as proof of the whereabouts of the bobbleheads, along with some Duke's mayonnaise we picked up in Kentucky.
Oh, hell yeah.
Haney, there's the picture with the bobbleheads.
That's a man after my own heart,
yes,
right there.
Yes, indeed.
God bless you, sir.
Fantastic. And you know what?
See, I had a
right
feeling.
Right there on that shelf, sitting proud.
I had a feeling about that.
Yeah, you did. This is Ed. See if I can. How guys, how freaking ridiculous. If we were to subscribe to this monkey it up train, this whole monkey up train of thought, would that mean that a popular and funny local commercial about construction that uses a monkey as an inexperienced goofball and nothing but inexperienced goofballs is implying something other than what it is? I think not. And the thought never entered my mind until this race-baiting comment was released yesterday in regards to the governor's race. Mm-hmm. Nor I.
Yeah, I don't understand. What does a monkey have to do with a human being?
Poor, victimized, liberal, bleeding heart crybabies would sure like us to think that way, wouldn't they? I'm no scholar in how to run a political race, or for that matter, politics as a whole, but I do listen to everything both sides have to say, and just pure common sense alone leads me to question just who the bigots are and who the racists are. I'm truly at a loss for words for this kind of blatant stupidity, and I'm pissed. Signed, Ed.
Good for you, Ed.
While we're on the topic, you know, it couldn't escape the ears of The Guardian.
Jesus.
He's always there.
Always there. Let's see what we got here. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, it just pisses me off when the left will take comments such as DeSantis's monkeying around yesterday and completely twist it around like it was racist. They always take things out of context. Now, it's no surprise that...
Well, you know that the Democratic nominee for governor has suggested publicly that we bring back the Confederacy, which really confused me.
Yep.
He said we can't have just Medicare for all in Florida. It would require a confederation of states.
Oh! I can't believe that. Well, you know what? Somebody can twist that around.
Well, that's I guess, what you call a dog whistle, where he's trying to appeal to the sons of Confederate veterans.
And of course, this is obvious. Now, it's no surprise that DeSantis' opponent is backed by Soros, and
yeah.
He is also under investigation by the FBI for some irregularities, some transportation contracts with the city of Tallahassee.
Look, lots of municipalities across Florida give money to restaurants. I don't know what the controversy is.
Contracts with... And then he goes on, that ought to throw a monkey wrench into the campaign.
Guardian.
Yeah, that's the Guardian. Now, here's a couple of more things that are just ridiculous. FSU is going to require all students take an anti-stress course, unless that makes you stressed out. Now, that's just stupid. Also, I think it was in Massachusetts, a local seafood company had a truck that crashed. It was carrying lobster, and they all died. So now PETA comes along and wants to put a roadside marker saying something to the effect that this is the spot where lobsters were killed. What? We're not meant for these times. Let me tell you something. My mom used to come home.
I can't interact with that. No.
My mom used to come home. There used to be a store, because we lived in New England. There was a store. It was called The Lobsterman. And they would bring their fresh hauls of lobster, and you'd get them at those wholesale prices. Oh, there were so many lobsters. And we'd have on the stove these big, giant, boiling pots. Seasoned in there, a little lemon, maybe on a couple of them, a little Old Bay.
That's the secret.
Take them right out of the bag. They're fighting around, and you throw them right into the boiling water, and you cook them. Nobody said anything. Enjoy your lobsters. This is New England. Enjoy them. Now we want to have a roadside marker because PETA says lobsters lost their lives there. I just... Now, I'm sorry. That is one of the most absurd things I have ever heard. Again, just another example of how ridiculous our society has become. Stupid, stupid, stupid. And finally, to the emailer from yesterday, why don't you go pound some sand up your ass, you boob, ya? You guys are the best. Sign the Guardian.
You know, it's almost...
He's done it again!
Almost as if there's some sort of concerted effort, almost like a plan to get people so divorced from reality and the land and dealing with the actual food chain, cut them off from all that, move them to cities and make them think that food comes wrapped in plastic,
yeah,
so that when the lights go out, they can't survive. They don't know what food is.
Yeah, you know
what? How do we get tofu?
Yeah, how do we get that?
Well, there's no tofu, but we got plenty of lobsters and game. Oh! Yeah.
Soylent Green. It's people. We'll be back. Our question
it's
of...
You're stinking.
Paws off me, you damn... we'll be back.
When life gives you lemons, crush them up and twist them back in life's eyes. Trust me, it burns. Oh, yes, it burns. Stan and Haney on 96 K Rock.
Just to give me a few minutes.
Damn it. Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Our question of the week. I'm going to pose our question of the week to you right now. We'll do traffic, let you think about it, and then we'll start taking your phone calls. It's not a yes or no answer. It is your story. And this one's a good one. Because we can all use our favorite friend right now. Our question of the week, I'll give it to you right now. Then we'll take your phone calls after traffic. Things are tough. You're a grown adult. You're making your way in the world. If you could bring back one of your childhood pets, that one that was just great, have it in your home right now. You know, there's always, you may have had a lot of pets. You may have had just one pet. If you could bring back one of your childhood pets, who would it be? What kind of pet was it? What was his name? Her name? Have it running around the house right now. If you could bring back one of your childhood pets to be in your home right now, who would it be? 277-9600. That's our question of the week. If you could bring back one of your childhood pets, that one you loved so much, was always loyal, there with you. Maybe it was something totally different, something that we wouldn't even think of. If it was a dog, or what kind of dog was it? What was the dog's name? Why was it important to you? 277-9600. If you could bring back one of your childhood pets, be living with you right now, what pet would it be? 277-9600. Let's get you updated on traffic. We'll take your phone calls.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right. Oh, we got a road watcher. Accident, Pine Island Road going eastbound in front of the Walmart just happened. Also on the board here, let me see, we got a couple of them. Estero, crash, Corkscrew Road, I-75 northbound. One more for you, it's Lehigh Acres. Crash, Gunnery Road and Lee Boulevard. And you are up to date. Man, we all had our favorite pets when we were a kid growing up. For some reason, maybe it passed away. Maybe something happened to it. Old age gets to it. You move out of the house and start your own life. If you could bring back and have in your house right now one of your childhood pets, who would it be? 277-9600. For me... This is a tough one because I was so allergic to animals. as a kid, and I grew up around animals all the time. And we had dogs, and we had cats, and we had chickens.
And farm animals.
And farm animals, cows and all that. We had a barn cat. Got it as a kitten. Cat's name was Tabitha. And lived strictly in the barn. It was a barn cat. It would tackle rabbits and varmints twice its size. And that cat lived through everything. Freezing, cold, water. Or not water, but weather. And it even had something that affected its brain where it walked sideways. But the cat was the most loyal cat, was the nicest cat. It was one of those calicos and was always there. I mean, there would be storms and rain. There was Tabitha. Good cat. A good cat. Not like the one I got now. Haney, you could bring back a pet to be in your house right now?
What would it be? Out of fairness, I'd have to say I'd be happy to see any of them.
Right. I understand that. But there's one that you'd have in your house right now.
Was our family dog when I was probably about 12. Black Mutt. Her name was Mima.
Aww.
And she would wear sunglasses. Wouldn't try to shake them off. Because we'd be out by the pool. I'd put sunglasses on her. I got a picture of that somewhere. And her with tennis balls, she was a virtuoso. And the game that we used to play, this is back in the days before they were outlawed, the pool had a slide, which is much too dangerous now.
Oh, yeah, it hurt somebody.
But the game that we would play, and she kind of invented it, the first time we played it, she picked up the tennis ball. I'm in the pool. And she goes over, puts her paws up onto the slide, and works the ball around in her mouth, looks over at me to see if I'm paying attention, then lets the ball slide down and stands there. I pick up the ball, and I roll it up the slide to the top, and she would jump up to catch the ball as it's falling down the slide, and she'd see how high she could get.
Good
memories. What a great dog.
Junior, if you, from your childhood, bring back a pet to be living with you right now, which one pops right out at you?
Well, we had a black mutt, too. Her name was Marianne. Like, just an adorable pup. And she was like, really fat and lazy. And but when you go up to her and you're like, you want to go for a walk, just flip out and start spazzing.
Oh, yeah,
one of those.
And what was the dog's name?
Marianne.
277-9600. Your pet, if you could, such fond memories. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Jackie.
Jackie, are you the baseball card Jackie?
Yes, that's me.
Did you get my email I sent you?
I did.
What do you want me to do with it?
Go ahead and donate it, my husband said.
All right, very good, and I will, and I know some kids that would love to have them.
Otherwise, I was just going to pick them up and donate them to, like, the Boys Ranch of Florida.
All right, they're going to go to a good place, so don't worry about it, Jackie. What about the childhood pet?
The childhood pet, well, there were two, but one of them would be Petunia, our pig.
You had a pet pig?
Yes. I have pictures I can show you. She was just a domestic pig. She lived in our house. One good thing about pigs, they don't get fleas. You put them in the shower with you. When she started getting big, of course, we had to put her outside because I'd come home, you know, from work and have the pigs squealing in the house.
Are pigs smart?
They're very smart. We used to have like a little baby pool for it to get into. And then when our friends would come over, we had one of those little, they used to call them super slides. Remember you put the dish liquid on them?
Yep.
And put the hose on it, and right as we were sliding down, and he would get to the very end of it, Petunia would pick it up and flip us up in the air.
Jackie, thank you. And I know what she was doing. That was the slip and slide, a Whammo product, I believe. And again, I guess too many kids got hurt. 277-9600. When we finish with a caller, it opens up a line. If you can bring back one of your childhood pets. ought to be in my house right now. Who would it be? 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Lucia.
Hi, Lucia. How are you?
Good.
Bring back that one pet. Who would it be?
My family's dog, Ginger.
What kind of dog?
She was a pit bull.
A pit bull, but probably the nicest temperament there could be.
Yeah.
Well, what happened? Did old age get her?
Yeah, she was 13.
Was that your brother talking to you? Because it's certainly, it's your story. If it's your husband, he doesn't know. He wasn't around then.
It's my dad.
Ah!
I think he might know.
He might know.
What do I know?
About the
pit bull. And when did you know it?
Yeah, about the pit bull.
What about it?
Well, I was just asking her. I heard you piping up in the background. I figured it was a boyfriend or a husband or somebody, but the dad would know. Jeez, you're getting bold with me. Thanks for the call, guys. 277-9600. She's going to kill me for saying this, but I always tease her about it. My girlfriend, their house was a menagerie. Parrots, chinchillas, dogs, cats, hedgehogs. When she was very little, my girlfriend, she got a guinea pig. The guinea pig died because she pet it to death.
And I will name him George.
Yep. And she didn't understand it, but she loved it so much, she pet it to death. I'm sorry. I know it's a sensitive subject.
What's she doing telling you things like that? You don't tell Stan things like that.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. You should not. People should not tell you things like that because you can't help it.
And I can't remember what the guinea pig's name was. I said, well, why? She started getting sad about it. And I said, what's going on? She goes, well, I loved him so much I pet him to death. ahoy, who's this?
This is Bob.
Bob, if you could bring back one of your pets from childhood, that special one to be in your house right now, who would it be?
Swirly Tom.
Who's Swirly Tom?
Now, Stan, you can relate to this. My father was a veterinarian, so there was a lot of animals.
Yeah.
In our house, all kinds of animals. It was a great experience. But, you know, they were all like animals that were someone else we were taking care of.
Right.
Or it wasn't my pet. And my first pet was a duck named Swirly Tom. I bought because my friend, I was like 12. He pooped on his sister's head. And Swirly Tom would walk in circles. When he got wings, he'd fly in circles. I could never lose him. But then later on, he laid an egg, and I had to change his name to Swirly Shirley.
I like that. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Rochelle.
What's your first name?
Hey, Rochelle.
Hi, Rochelle. If you could bring back one of your pets from childhood, that special one to be with you right now, who would it be?
Well, I have two, but I'll give you the one that was the most special to my heart because it's special to my mom's heart, and that was our pygmy goat, Fish.
Hold it. A pygmy goat what?
His name was Fish because he was born in March, the same time my mom was born, who is a Pisces. Which I'm sure you can relate.
Yes.
She called him Fish.
Okay.
And he was a pygmy with, several health issues. So we had to keep him in the house because we lived on a farm. But he was the only goat allowed in the house, thank goodness. But he would eat the toilet paper and we used to have to.
They'll eat anything.
They will eat anything. And we used to have to, feed him by hand until he got a little bit older. But by then, we all loved him. And he would just follow us around. He actually lived with all his health issues for a long time. But
that's an awesome story.
Yes, it was very unique, to say the least.
Absolutely.
Right up there with Swirly Tom.
And then Swirly Shirley after the egg. This is why I love this. There are so many great stories out there. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, gentlemen. It's Joey. How you doing?
Hey, Joey, bring back one of those childhood pets, the special one. What would it be?
It would be Heidi the Dachshund.
Ah.
It was a good dog. Well, it wasn't that good a dog, but it got to the point where the freaking dog wouldn't eat anything but brown ground beef.
Yeah.
And we could never housebreak the damn thing.
Why would you want that back in your house?
Well, I know. I was in like third or fourth grade, and Heidi had to go live on a farm was the last I heard of the dog.
Yeah.
They all do.
Yeah. Don't worry. So we're going to take Heidi to the country.
I told you, I actually did that with one dog. Literally took the dog to live on a farm and was able to go visit him later.
A story like that has to come from some reality. Okay? A kid will buy that, and you saw it for proof.
But nine times out of ten, it doesn't.
No.
But I
did. Country means something else. And farm means something else.
And I was a grown man. And I'm going, okay. Yeah, so I can come visit him. Absolutely. And this is a real farm.
And in fact, it was true.
And I drove out there and I saw him running around and, you know, herding cattle and living the dream.
We had, I'm going to tell you, this is how I was conned. I knew on our farm what animals were for food. We had pigs and they would go to slaughter. We had chickens and geese and ducks and pheasants. And I knew that there were, you know, they were going to be made into food. I mean, I remember one Christmas we had pheasant for dinner because we had pheasants. We had, and it was a dwarf cow. We had other cows and there was, of course, the bull that was out there and all that. But it was a dwarf cow, and it was about the size of a calf forever. And
was it just stunted?
It was called a dwarf whatever cow.
Oh, on purpose.
On purpose.
Oh, okay.
Unbeknownst to me, the reason why they bred these dwarf cows, it was because their meat would be very tender. And they didn't have a chance to bulk up and get, you know, too, you know, tough as far
muscle as... muscle bound.
Right. And we as kids really took to the dwarf cow. I mean, when it was baby, we'd feed it its
not
milk.
Not realizing that it was basically mock veal.
And I'm not kidding you. It's something like that could be out of a sitcom. I'm sitting there at the dinner table enjoying a steak, and it dawns on me. Whatever happened to the dwarf cow?
Where's half cow?
Yep. And it was the old line, shut up and eat your steak. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Timmy.
Okay, your phone is horrible. You know what? That reminded me of Neil Armstrong.
Mm-hmm. Except he was calling from the moon.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. Last chance. Yes, that's you.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm sorry, Stan.
That's all right, buddy. Ahoy. The pet you could bring back.
Hi, his name is Scrappy. He was an African Basenji. He's in High Times magazine like three times.
Well, African Basenji, what is that?
It's a crazy little terrier dog with a... rambunctious attitude. Unbeknownst to me, he was going around and scratching on the neighbors' doors every day when I went to work and asking for snacks. And one of the neighbors happened to be a contributor to High Times magazine. So I end up with all this pot on my table and all the crazy people taking pictures and my crazy dog there. But he was supposed to be 12. He made it to 16, and I'd give anything to have him back. He was the joy.
Wow, that is a great story. If you would like to answer our question of the week, feel free to email us ahoy@stanandhaney.com. If you could bring back one of your childhood pets, that special one, who would it be? ahoy@stanandhaney.com. Mark Haney and the News is next.
We're just like most of you. Financially devastated ex-husbands, unrepentantly proud fathers, and underappreciated employees. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. And congratulations to Johnny Limbaugh, who heard his cue to call in with finger licking good, was the ninth caller, got himself qualified for the Louder Than Life Festival in Louisville, Kentucky. If you don't know by now, K-Rock going to be flying you and a guest to the Louder Than Life Festival in Louisville, Kentucky, to see Nine Inch Nails, Alice in Chains, Five Finger Death Punch, Godsmack, Breaking Benjamin, Shinedown, Limp Bizkit, and more. September 28th through the 30th. And just for qualifying, Johnny Limbaugh got himself a CD from one of the bands and is in the running for the grand prize. You want all the details? Go to 96krock.com. Miami Dolphin football tonight. Pre-game starts at 6, game at 7.
Last fake game.
Yep.
Last chance for some of these guys to make the team.
Dolphins, Falcons. Here on 96 K-Rock, as you can hear, the Dolphins all season long, including the preseason games. So last one, last preseason game, Fins and Falcons tonight right here on 96 K-Rock. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Oh, by the way, my girlfriend's guinea pig, she texted me. She was listening.
The one she petted to death?
Yeah, Sally was the guinea pig's name. Sally the guinea pig. Oh, I love you so much!
And I will name him George, and I will pet him and caress him.
Yeah.
And
fell to the floor, never to move again.
Worst ways to go, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's see. We will start Cape Coral. Crash, Pine Island Road, right next to the Wells Fargo. Estero, crash, Tamiami Trail and Estero Parkway. And another one in Estero, crash, I-75 northbound at Corkscrew Road. And you are up to date. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Charles Kuralt in New York, Eric Severide in Miami Beach, Charles Collingwood in London, George Herman in Washington, Marvin Kalb in Washington, Robert Pierpoint in Washington, and Daniel Shore in Washington.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, August 30th.
Double M X V Triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Well, as Stan just told you, it's time now for things you didn't know.
Thank you.
As Stan just told you, final game of preseason NFL football. The Dolphins tonight. And we all know the NFL teams and some of their names, obvious as to how they'd come about.
Yeah. Named after a lot of times after animals. You got your Falcons and your Dolphins. And
Rams.
Your Rams.
Cardinals.
And your Colts.
Bills.
Yeah.
What about the Green Bay Packers?
They were named after a packing company, if I'm not mistaken.
That is absolutely true. The Green Bay Packers were named after the Indian Packing Company. Why?
Why?
The Indian Packing Company provided them with $500 for uniforms and equipment when the franchise started play in 1919. And not $500 for each uniform.
Total.
$500 for all the uniforms.
And the only reason I know that is because, and here's how time flies. This is a little bit showing my age. I got for Christmas one year as a kid the NFL hardcover book, the NFL's first 50 years. What are they up to now? Well past that. And it had a picture of the first Green Bay Packers uniform, you know, leather helmet and, you know, canvas pants. And and it just it said that they got their name from a packing company.
Here's a hell of a hypothetical. Let's say all of the land in America was suddenly up for sale. And you decide, I'll take it all. How much would it cost you?
All the available land, or you're buying land from everybody? You know, you're buying private property and all.
Yeah, everything.
It's got to be in the trillions. Trillions.
It is.
Quadrillions.
If somehow it were an option.
Right.
And you wanted to buy all of the land in America?
Yeah.
You'd write a check for $23 trillion.
Ah, dropping the bucket.
Quite reasonable, really.
Yes, when you come to think of it. There's the Packers uniforms.
And see, what you can do, Stan, is $23 trillion, that's a lot of money. Don't worry about that.
I can get a mortgage, can I?
Exactly. And then what you do is, for the first couple of years, you just do interest only, and then you flip it.
Yep. That'd be my strategy.
That was your strategy back in 2008, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Everybody's strategy back in 2008.
Remember, prior to 2007, up into 2008, everybody was buying property to flip. Those prices were off the charts. Oh, what are you doing now? I'm quitting my job. I'm getting into real estate and flipping houses, flipping property.
Mm-hmm. And you would have people that lived in, like, upstate New York and all over the country. And as soon as a condo would come on the market, they would buy it for more than the asking price.
Sight unseen.
Same day. Yeah.
Unseen.
The minute that listing went live, they bought it. And everybody knew this ain't right. This can't last. But still couldn't help themselves.
Couldn't help. That was easy money.
And then the next thing you know, you're in a kayak in the North Atlantic.
Yep. No, never to be heard from again.
No body.
Nope. Because there was never body to begin with.
Well, perfectly believable to me.
Yep. We were all supposed to swallow that story. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't enjoy a nice night kayaking excursion in the North Atlantic?
Yeah, in the winter.
Seriously, the things we have to take with a straight face.
Those of you that know what we're talking about, you know we're right. If you don't know what we're talking about, do a little research. Just, you could Google kayaking New York, middle of the winter, disappears, and then maybe a little Fort Myers in there.
Mm-hmm.
Story will pop up, and we're supposed to swallow that.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. And that's plausible.
Very believable.
Sure. Makes perfect sense.
Yep.
Could happen to any of us.
And this guy took our what? We're all out of what?
Ladies, if you are pregnant and haven't chosen a baby name, we've got one for you. It's not trendy. You probably won't like it. But if things fall the right way and you're willing to name your child a certain name,
yeah,
you could get 11 grand.
You know what? Raising a kid, that's a drop in the bucket.
Somebody's going to do it.
Yeah, of course. What name do they have to name the kid?
Colonel Harlan Sanders.
What?
KFC just launched a contest in honor of Colonel Sanders, who was born on September 9th, 1890. And if you give birth on September 9th and legally name your child Harland, you will be eligible to win $11,000. Now, to be eligible, you have to legally name your child Harland.
And that might not necessarily win.
Even if, say, 5,000 parents name their child Harland, giving birth on September 9th, that just makes them eligible to be randomly picked for the prize.
Yep. You know, Annie and I come from the era when Colonel Sanders used to do his own commercials.
Mm-hmm.
The real Colonel Sanders.
He was just a force of nature.
He was, if you did not go by his specifications, he'd shut your store down.
11 herbs and spices.
He used to go, and there was some documentary, it might have been 60 Minutes at the time. He had a station wagon. This was like in the 60s. He had a station wagon. He finally awarded franchises around the country. And he would give you the specifications on how to cook.
The secret recipe.
The secret recipe would be sent to you pre-mixed. He wouldn't tell you what the secret recipe was.
Other than it's 11 herbs and spices.
You just follow the instructions. And they were done in pressure cookers. Now, I don't know if Kentucky Fried Chicken still uses pressure cookers to cook their chickens. But they would show Colonel Sanders himself in his white outfit go in his station wagon and stop at random at the stores. And he would go in and make sure you were cooking the chicken properly. If not, because it was his, he would send you the pressure cookers too, because they had to be the right ones.
Mm-hmm.
And if you weren't doing it properly, he'd take his pots and pans, put them in the back of his station wagon, and shut you down.
God bless him.
That's how he was. He wanted to make sure that every Kentucky Fried Chicken, the chicken tasted the same no matter where you were in the country.
And you think that doesn't make a difference? Look at what happened to Wendy's after Dave Thomas passed away. Different product altogether.
Yep. He was a guest on this show.
Good guy. In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill. There's a gentleman named Cleet Keller. He calls Colorado Springs home, and he has done his part in representing this country well. He is a former U.S. Olympic swimmer.
Uh-huh.
5 medals, including 2 gold medals in relays with Michael Phelps. I mean, that's a man who can feel good about himself.
Yep.
And he is a responsible pet owner, loves his pets, and did the responsible thing. He knew he was going to be gone all day long on Sunday, and that wouldn't be fair to his dog, Jimbo.
Nope.
So he hired a dog sitter. Now he thought he'd done it properly. He found a sitter through what he thought was a reputable service. And the lady he hired had very positive reviews. But when he arrived home unexpectedly at 1 a.m. on Monday, he walked into a scene he was far from prepared for. He was expecting to come home and find his dog and the dog sitter.
Yep.
First thing he saw when he opened his own door, two random shirtless men, an oversized open bottle of lube, and a camcorder.
Yeah.
And mysterious wet stains on his couch.
Mm-hmm.
The dog sitter was nowhere to be found. Now, the two shirtless gents there in the living room, turns out the dog sitter was in the shower. Evidently a much-needed shower.
Yeah, well, clean up.
The dog was locked in his bedroom where it had urinated all over the floor. That's what he paid good money.
Yep, to, for it not to happen that way.
Now, as you might imagine, Mr. Keller, All-American,
yep,
was dismayed by this turn of events. But don't worry, the dog sitter had explanations for the random shirtless gents, the open bottle of lube, the camcorder, the wet productive stains on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
She said the shirtless men were just friends of hers,
yeah,
and she needed the lube because her keys were stuck in her car, and so she lubed them up to get them out. The service says they are investigating what happened, and that although it seems the dog sitter can explain it all away, they've suspended her pending the investigation.
There you go.
The general smell in the house was just disgusting. I've had all the windows and doors open. There was an open bottle of personal lubricant and a camcorder on the end table. So it's pretty self-explanatory what was going on.
But to be completely honest, I didn't have WD-40 and my keys were stuck in my car. So I ended up grabbing what I had in my car from things that, you know, I do in my personal time. And I didn't think to put it back in my car.
There's also what I can only assume are bodily fluids on the couch.
I wouldn't know anything about that because I know that I took a shower at his house and I sat on the couch and a towel. And that was before my friends got there.
It was just a total mess. And I can only imagine what poor Jimbo saw in there.
Aww. I'd like to apologize to him for making him feel like I violated his house because that wasn't my intention. I misinterpreted information and I had guests over when I shouldn't.
I didn't hear the apology, though.
Oh, no, you don't get apologies from... Mm. Florida State University has created a mandatory online class for incoming freshmen this year designed to assist them in handling the stress that comes with going off to college, living on campus, and handling their course load. But then they realized they had to offer everyone an option to skip the mandatory class if doing that would cause them to be too stressed.
What the?
The class is only about a half hour long, and it's mostly just videos of older students telling them what to expect. There's no test or anything at the end to worry about, but the... Mm-hmm. Although it's a mandatory class,
yes,
remains mandatory, it is optional. And people wonder.
Yeah, they wonder. They wonder.
Oh, it's just a spring clean for the make.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, I have a feeling, Stan, this story may sound vaguely familiar to you.
To me? Okay.
Someone at a convenience store in Kentucky called 911 last Friday after a 35-year-old idiot named Kenneth Couch claimed to be having a heart attack. Now, it turns out that Kenneth was just fine. However, he did want a free ride in an ambulance to the hospital so he could enjoy the hospital cafeteria.
Like, say hi to all my fans.
When paramedics arrived at the hospital, he was very excited, jumped out of the ambulance, and fast walked straight to the cafeteria to get some grub. Well, the paramedics didn't appreciate this, nor did the hospital staff.
Sure.
The police showed up and arrested him for making a false report.
Good.
They also charged him in connection with a stolen gun he apparently took from someone's house. Could have been a fan.
Yep, one of my fans.
Also had an active warrant out for writing bad checks. One of life's winners.
Hi, Paul.
Seems as if he may be heading to jail for a while there. We don't know what he thinks of their food. But the silver lining is he won't be going hungry. Three hots and a cot, guaranteed.
Say hi to all my fans.
Yeah, I just killed him.
And that's the news for today, Thursday, August 30th.
Double M, XV, triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mucky Haney, telling it like it is.
Thank you. News brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Sounds very familiar.
Mm-hmm. All right, I can't place it.
No, I can't put a finger on it, but it sounds familiar. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney.
We are the tip of the Beasley Broadcasting spear. That's it. Yeah, the spear. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you so much for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Miami Dolphin football pregame coming up at 6 o'clock. Kickoff at 7. Dolphins, Falcons, final preseason game of the year. Heard right here on 96K Rock. You can hear the Dolphins all season long. Let's get a final look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, looky here.
Looky.
Yeah. We'll start in Cape Coral. Still working that crash, Pine Island Road and Wells Fargo, right by the Wells Fargo on Pine Island Road. In Estero, crash, Tamiami Trail and Estero Parkway. Then we got a couple for you in Lehigh Acres. Crash, Jackson Lane and Lee Boulevard. And the other one in Lehigh Acres, Alabama Road North and Homestead Road North. And you are up to date.
I'm going to shine up my boots, pick out my best hat. Going to a place called Old Briar Patch. Going to get loose and I'm going to have fun. Going to go hunting, but I won't need a gun now.
Oh, get it, Stan. And Stan on that Mississippi saxophone right there.
Well, the season is always open, and there ain't no limit, you see. And they can be more challenging than a Rocky Mountain sheep. I have hunted them four-legged deer, but the two-legged's a lot more fun. I'm gonna go hunting the night long, but I ain't taking no gun. Cause the kind of game I'm looking for, they can be more dangerous than a big old grizzly bear. They got long claws, long
Reggie.
Does. That is him.
Yep.
Now those big old beautiful wildcats are the kind that are hard to track. Cause the joint is a-crawling with the other hunters, and the she-cats are doubling back. Now is the time for patience. Don't fire on the first one. Don't waste your bullets on a little bitty baby. Get a full-grown wah-wah-wah man.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
It's good to give to charities, you know. My wife and I just gave a bunch of stuff to the Goodwill. We were moving apartments. We had a bunch of clothes and furniture, so we made a whole day out of it. We made these big piles of clothes. Then we put the piles into these big boxes. Then we put the boxes into the back of my car, and then they stayed there for 4 months. And then one day my wife said, hey, you took that stuff to Goodwill, right? And I said, of course I did. On an unrelated note, I'm going to walk out the front door right now. So then I had to, like, speed to Goodwill really fast. So it was charitable, but it was also fast and violent because I was, like, throwing boxes at people. The boxes were so heavy, I couldn't even say what was in them. I was like, this one's shirts. I got a bunch of shirts. Take away. The guy tried to give me a big receipt. He's like, take this receipt for the clothing for your taxes. I was like, how do I write that on my taxes? Dear IRS, please deduct from my federal income tax one double XL Billabong t-shirt from youth. It was too big. My mom said it could be a sleep shirt. Please deduct this from my 2017 income. Well, if it's too big, you can just wear it as a sleep shirt. No, I get that, Mom. But why don't we just tell our relatives that I'm a 4-year-old boy and I don't wear a man's double XL t-shirt, because we don't say that when someone gives us a gift, because that would not be polite. Oh, I get it. So rather than violate these meaningless politeness rules, I'll just go to bed in a smock like Ebenezer Scrooge. Why don't you give me a candle for looking in the mirror and a floppy hat? And I'll tremble off to bed in my long Victorian nightgown. Was there ever even a ghost mother? Or was the dead Victorian girl you saw just me all along?
Wow. Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. This is the Stan and Haney Show. 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. If you could bring back one of your childhood pets, that one that was just great, have it in your home right now. You know, there's always, you may have had a lot of pets, you may have had just one pet. If you could bring back one of your childhood pets, who would it be? What kind of pet was it? What was his name, her name? Have it running around the house right now. If you could bring back one of your childhood pets to be in your home right now, who would it be? We had a barn cat. Got it as a kitten. Cat's name was Tabitha and lived strictly in the barn. It was a barn cat. It would tackle rabbits and varmints twice its size. And that cat lived through everything. Freezing, cold, water. Or not water, but weather. And it even had something that affected its brain where it walked sideways. But the cat was the most loyal cat, was the nicest cat. It was one of those calicos and was always there. I mean, there would be storms and rain. There was Tabitha. A good cat, not like the one I got now. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Lucia.
Hi, Lucia. How are you?
Good.
Bring back that one pet. Who would it be?
My family's dog, Ginger.
What kind of dog?
She was a pit bull.
A pit bull, but probably the nicest temperament there could be.
Yeah.
Well, what happened? Did old age get her?
Yeah, she was 13.
Was that your brother talking to you? Because it's certainly, it's your story. If it's your husband, he doesn't know. He wasn't around then.
It's my dad.
Ah!
I think he might know.
He might know.
What do I know?
About the
pit bull. And when did you know it?
Yeah, about the pit bull.
What about it?
Well, I was just asking. I heard you piping up in the background. I figured it was a boyfriend or a husband or somebody, but the dad would know. Jeez, you're getting bold with me. Thanks for the call, guys. 277-9600. She's going to kill me for saying this, but I always tease her about it. My girlfriend, their house was a menagerie. Parrots. Chinchillas, dogs, cats, hedgehogs. When she was very little, my girlfriend, she got a guinea pig. The guinea pig died because she pet it to death.
And I will name him George.
Yep. And she didn't understand it, but she loved it so much, she pet it to death. I'm sorry. I know it's a sensitive subject.
But she's doing telling you things like that. You don't tell Stan things like that.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. You should not. People should not tell you things like that because you can't help it.
And I can't remember what the guinea pig's name was. I said, well, why? She started getting sad about it. And I said, what's going on? She goes, well, I loved him so much I pet him to death. ahoy, who's this?
This is Bob.
Bob, if you could bring back one of your pets from childhood, that special one to be in your house right now, who would it be?
Swirly Tom.
Who's Swirly Tom?
Now, Stan, you can relate to this. My father was a veterinarian, so there was a lot of animals.
Yeah.
In our house, all kinds of animals. It was a great experience. But, you know, they were all like animals that were someone else we were taking care of.
Right.
Or it wasn't my pet, and my first pet was a duck named Swirly Tom. I bought because my friend, I was like 12, he pooped on his sister's head, and Swirly Tom would walk in circles. When he got wings, he'd fly in circles. I could never lose him, but then later on, he laid an egg, and I had to change his name to Swirly Shirley.
I like that. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy. This is Rochelle.
What's your first name?
Hey, Rochelle.
Hi, Rochelle. If you could bring back one of your pets from childhood, that special one to be with you right now, who'd it be?
Well, I have two, but I'll give you the one that was the most special to my heart because it's special to my mom's heart. And that was our pygmy goat Fish.
Hold it, a pygmy goat what?
His name was Fish because he was born in March, the same time my mom was born, who is a Pisces, which I'm sure you can relate.
Yes.
She called him Fish.
Okay.
And he was a pygmy with, you know, several, you know, health issues, so we had to keep him in the house because we lived on a farm, but he was the only goat allowed in the house, thank goodness. But he would eat the toilet paper, and we used to have to...
They'll eat anything.
They will eat anything. And we used to have to, like, feed him by hand until he got a little bit older. But by then, we all loved him. And he would just follow us around. He actually lived for, you know, with all his health issues for a long time. But
that's an awesome story.
Yes, it was very unique, to say the least.
Absolutely.
Right up there with Swirly Tom.
And Swirly Shirley after the egg. This is why I love this. There are so many great stories out there.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.